imagine traveling back to a time before the internet, before Mountain Dew Livewire, and before the Neo post-apocalypse. This summer, Apocalypse Video asked the question, where were you in 1982?
I mean, what happened? How did everything that was so good get so bad?
A time when men were men.
I got nowhere else to go! I got nowhere else to go!
Women were women.
You gotta be fucking kidding.
And mice could talk.
My son Timothy is so sick.
Join us all summer long as we celebrate the box office hits and misses of 1982. The date is July 23rd, 1982. The Human League's Don't You Want Me has lost the title of number one to returning champ Survivor and their rockin' workout anthem, Eye of the Tiger. Meanwhile, a delightfully naughty musical from Tennessee favorite Dolly Parton is about to steam up the silver screen with her enormous musical talent. The film is The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, and it's open for business now.
Accusing the sheriff, then it rose to a roar from a whimper. It got all out of hand. A fit hit the fan when Thorpe stirred up everyone's temper. The chick, 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 chicken ranch has been recouped in the song and dance. And I know you wouldn't want to miss the chance to come to the chicken ranch. It's foot stomping, rug romping, sexy, good fun. Come on down and bring someone. There's good times and trouble and fiery romance at the best little Texas chicken ranch.
Go along, partner.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Yeehaw! Well, howdy!
Well, howdy there!
Oh, you came back, like I said.
like I told you. Y'all come back now, you hear? I'm glad you heard.
I'm your host and owner of this establishment, Dave. I'm joined again by my fellow ladies, Jackie.
I always say if you see someone without a smile, give him yours.
I'm also joined by a couple fellas here, Ryan.
Dave, I don't give a damn if folks want their ass tickled. I kind of like to think that's what heaven is all about.
God bless. God
Amen.
Bless.
Amen.
And finally, you know one fella I like sneaking around with? Michael.
You know, I was just thinking, Dave, this morning, it behooves the Jews and the Arabs to resolve their differences in a Christian manner.
I think you mean Arabs. Believe is how
he
pronounced it.
What do the polls say? What do the polls say, Michael?
I don't know, but I'll do whatever they say.
I'll see you later. Da, 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 da,
da. I don't care what Charlie, they say. Whoever's on top, that's what I'll do.
This movie was just one smile on my face after another. You guys weren't on the episode, but when Ryan and I recorded the Tron episode, when we were back on the grid, you guys were trying to get us out of the grid. When we were stuck on the grid, Ryan was saying that he predicted that Best Little Whorehouse in Texas would be my new Flashdance for this year.
And?
I don't know if it quite reaches that level for me.
What does that mean?
Oh, I just mean he's
He was really into Flashdance.
Gaga about it.
My first thought is like, is it mean a movie that we... Dave's gonna have to react to it react in a way where we're gonna have to save an intervention.
Oh,
it becomes like the movie that I like become obsessed with that year. And I'll say that it's not gonna be a movie I become obsessed with, but it is a movie that I greatly enjoyed. This is gonna be, I will say, this will be probably one of the gems of of this promotion this year for me, like that I hadn't seen. That's like, oh, what a delightful little film.
You know what? Same, because I had never seen this. I knew it was Dolly. Had seen the image of her in the red and black lingerie, which va va voom. Obviously, every single time she's on screen, you just have to say awooga, and then wolf hitting yourself on the head with a hammer.
Yeah, my God. I think we can all, if can everyone all can just get disclaimers out of the way, if we can all just have our awoogas, just get them out of the way. I'll just start, awooga!
You know, and honestly, like, that was another thing Ryan said, like, I don't remember if this was on the episode or not, but for some reason, like, I was surprised that there was going to be nudity in the movie. I didn't know this was rated R. And
you
he's like, oh,
titties,
yeah, there's nudity
butts.
In the movie. And
you
I was
get
like, from Dolly, and she and he goes no. And honestly,
you're like,
I'm kind of glad. I'm glad that there's no nudity from Dolly in a way.
They didn't have
like,
they didn't have that kind of budget.
No,
you know?
No. But you
that's a pretty expensive. That's an expensive special effect.
You want to maintain that mystique, you know what
I mean?
Of
course, that she's the madam, she's the businesswoman. You got, but she has, you know, about 100 costume changes, each one more fabulous than the last. There's a lot of fun costumes in this one, and Dolly gets the best of them. But as we're saying, of course, awooga awooga, va va voom. But also, just I always am reminded of this whenever Dolly Parton is you know on screen in like a movie or TV show or you know something. She's so fun to watch. Her laugh is so infectious, and she's just like, got you know. One of the true American treasures in this world.
I'm paraphrasing here, but I read one of the written reviews from Ebert on this movie.
He said, "Vava vuma wuga wuga."
He didn't really like it. He didn't hate it, but he didn't really like it. But he was talking about Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds as sex symbols, sex icons in movies.
Sure.
And he said he really liked them, both of them, as sex icons in movies. I'm paraphrasing, but it's mostly because they seem like they're just having a great time. And I really like kind of the way he puts that, the way he like, and I definitely agree. Like there's a very, it's something I've always seen in Dolly Parton is like, she's just so charming because she is like having a good time. That's part of it. And Burt Reynolds, I do think does kind of have that magic too, where they both just feel like they're just like hot and they know it and they're having fun. And there's something infectious about that.
It's funny, like looking in the trivia, apparently I got to hand it to Reynolds and Parton. They you feel chemistry coming off them. You feel like they're both into each other. As you said, if you get the sense that they like we're hot, we know it. But evidently on set, things were not all hunky dory.
Oh, no.
Things were actually a nightmare, as Dolly Parton put it.
What did that man do?
I mean, that's in the long tradition of the Dave's Hot Summer Film Festival with Dirty Dancing. You know, they hated each other on set, right?
Yeah. And
well,
it's...
I don't know. It wasn't that they hated each other. It's just that apparently Burt Reynolds had just broken up with Sally Field and was in reportedly a bad mood during filming. As Dolly says, sometimes he would just walk off the set, unable to deal with things, and I'd be called upon to go to his dressing room and try to cheer him up. But that was like the blind leading the blind, since I was in an emotional and physical turmoil all my own.
Yeah, talk
oh,
about
Dolly.
Unpaid labor. So did they up her daily rate for having to be
hey,
Burt Reynolds'
can you
psychologist?
Can you go talk to Burt? He's in,
well,
you know.
So it doesn't sound like he was just like a, I don't know. It doesn't really delve deeper into it. Like,
it sounds like it wasn't animosity so much as like
going through some.
Some people were at some poor times in their lives,
and
also know.
Apparently a lot of people
are
getting
the
fired
film?
From this movie.
Ooh,
left and right.
I don't
two
know
directors,
anything about this.
And supposedly, it was a joke. There was a bumper sticker that supposedly circulated around Hollywood that read, "Honk if you've been fired from Best Little Whorehouse."
That's such a good industry bit of like some fucking nerds had to go order up like those bumper stickers.
Yeah, I saw the original director of this. Wasn't it Colin Trevorrow before he got fired?
3-year-old
Colin
Trevorrow.
Dolly got some people fired too. Like she later wrote.
Dolly got people fired?
Yeah, she's like, "I'd like to publicly apologize to everyone on that film for any ill will and hurt feelings I may have caused," and said that the film was, quote, "a miserable, spirit-numbing ordeal."
Oh, no!
I just saw a quote from Parton. I, like, don't even want to read it, but safe to say, She didn't like, she thought that the experience filming this was not good.
Oh, no.
Used some pretty extreme language.
Oh, I know the quote you're talking about.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But well, I will say,
I don't love that.
Giving all of that off-screen knowledge or behind-the-scenes knowledge, I gotta hand it to Reynolds and Parton. You would not know that that was going on because they seem like they are into each other. I am into them. I am into this movie. I never would have guessed that this director had not really directed a musical before. The musical sequences, I think, are well staged. The singing is great.
There's
this
a lot
great,
of
this is a great movie.
A lot of fun to be had.
I may disagree with some of the last bit you said there, Dave.
Wow.
What bit?
The staging of this. I don't know if this is that well staged as like a filmed musical. I think that's one of the, for me, one of the weaker things about it.
I mean, so, I'm not saying it's the best I've ever seen, but I thought it was fun.
I've certainly seen better. I had a lot of fun with the, we'll get into plot in a sec, but in particular, the men's football team sequence of they're so excited to go to the
Jackie
chicken race.
Pointed this out while we were watching and I couldn't think of it. It's like one of those things you can't unsee once you see it. This sequence with the we'll talk about it, but the college boys,
a lot of half naked men,
that is 100% the Hail Caesar scene from where John Cena's like,
it's not John,
not John Cena, Channing Tatum is going off to war.
No dames in
no
Hail
dames.
Caesar,
that whole dance sequence, that has to have been influenced
the
by
homoerotic
this.
Like, we can't wait to go have heterosexual sex.
Oh, I was thinking like, none of you guys, you're all gay, just come on.
Well, and yes. Also that where it's a lot of half naked and at parts fully naked men. You see some asses who are all have these like svelte dancer bodies, and it's like, yes, we play football.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, they're supposed to be the football
scene. Some really fun dancing. I think you know, you're right. I've seen better on-screen filmed musicals using the choreography, but I think there's some fun times in to be had here. Should we get into plot?
Who is this asshole on TV yelling about everything?
And now, the watchdog man himself, the eyes and ears of Texas, Melvin P. Thorpe.
Thank you, fellow Texans, and welcome to the Watchdog Report with yours truly, Melvin P. Thorpe. Keeping an eye on what's going on in this beautiful state of ours. This week's spotlight will shine on a shameful situation that has been allowed to exist for close to 100 years. I'm talking about the chicken ranch, my friends. The proprietor of this innocent-looking ranch house is a woman known only as Miss Mona, and the man who turns his back on her illegal operation is Sheriff Ed Earl Dodd. Did I say illegal? Yes, I did. Now, I know that this is TV, so I'm going to try to be as delicate as I can. Here goes, and may God forgive me. Texas has a whorehouse in it.
Lord have mercy on our souls.
Texas has a whorehouse in it.
Lord have mercy on our souls.
Wait, we haven't mentioned this before we get into the plot. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Like, we all know this is based off a true story, right?
It is, isn't it? Much in the same way that Roadhouse was inspired by a true story of frontier justice.
it's much more similar than Roadhouse. Like, there's a Texas, like, for lack of a better word, whorehouse. I think that's the legal term. That was called the Chicken Cooper, whatever this is called, the Chicken Shack.
The Chicken Ranch.
Yeah, and it was shut down in the 70s. Like, it was a legendary, like, this is, it's pretty.
I didn't know that.
It was busted by a TV guy who this is based off of. He's the same name. It's not, did no one know this?
No.
This, I knew it was based on a stage play, but I didn't
know. This is like a legit, I mean, I'm sure it's not one-to-one, but it's not a Roadhouse
well,
situation.
Well, as Deputy...
This is fairly a thing.
Deputy like, What's-His-Face
yeah,
says
like,
at the end.
With the governor.
It happened.
The deputy from the town pled with the governor to try and keep the whorehouse open.
I was going to say, as the guy at the end says in the narration, and that's mostly how it happened.
It is. That's how I would describe
it. Neighbors.
As you know, I'm not an expert on this story, but it's a, you know, look up a chicken on your Chattopedias.
Wow.
You know, look up a chicken. What's this called? Chicken ranch.
The chicken ranch.
Yeah, look it up. It's a wow. whole thing. It's it lasted from like the Civil War to the 70s. There's a ZZ Top about it, Lagrange. That's about the chicken.
Okay.
I didn't know any of that. It's, I mean, it makes sense because, you know, historians, many historians will now tell you that, you know, the westward expansion, problematic though it is, was, towns were incorporated around, like, mining pop-ups and shit, pop-ups, mines and everything, because... There was prostitution. There were, you know, brothels, and it was like, well, we need a proper building for that. And while we're at it, maybe let's build like this or that other, like the West was incorporated thanks to sex work in large part. So, you know, that's also
I don't know
just
what
true.
You're talking about, Jackie. There's nothing funny going on in the
nothing
chicken
dirty.
Ranch.
Nothing dirty happening here.
You don't
nothing
even serve alcohol.
Nothing dirty going on.
Nothing dirty going on. There are also a lot of fun songs and a lot of just silly songs. I we talked about before, but we'll touch on again. But of the governor
and
singing
like
about
one of the best songs ever written,
also featuring one of the best songs ever written, Dolly Parton's "I Will Always Love You." But the like song with the governor singing about how he's like, oh, I love to sidestep every issue, and he's like doing the like kicks, and it's some good shit.
I love to dance a little sidestep. Now they see me, now they don't. I've come and gone. And ooh, I love to sweep around the white step, cut a little swath and lead the people on. Ooh, I love to dance a little sidestep. Ooh, I love to sweep around the white step. Swap and lead the people on.
Supposedly, they originally wanted Mickey Rooney for that role.
That would have been funny.
But Charles Durning, man, Charles Durning is an MVP in any movie he's in. He's so good. I guess he's kind of a song and dance man, right? To a degree.
Oh, is he? I believe so. It from his performance again. Like,
well, maybe
the,
he can sing
some dance. Of the, but like the energy of like, again, he's like kicking, or he's doing like not full high kicks, but like some kicks while he's moving well.
He's a lot of fun in this movie.
And he's being a little stinker.
He's kind of a late stage antagonist in this movie. Let's get into the plot of this little movie.
I liked it.
I did too.
I haven't said anything. I liked it.
Yeah, Ryan's here too.
Ryan got in his awoogas about our girl Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
He just came
Miss
in from
Mona.
The grid.
Sorry, I can't shake that grid.
I was in the grid, man. Boring ass grid, man.
I want to go to the chicken ranch, man.
I want to go to the chicken ranch, man.
Oh, yeah,
I remember
the chicken ranch,
yeah,
man.
I was in a chicken ranch once.
Well, come on in, you Tron boys.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty solid, I would say. Solid picture.
Solid picture. Although there is, I mean, the inescapable, uncomfortable racial politics of the character Jewel, the black woman who lives in the house as well, which maybe we'll get into a little bit more. Every time that popped up, even though I also liked her performance, it was like, eesh, okay, all right.
So Ryan, you've seen this movie. You're a fan. Why don't you take on the role of Jim Neighbors, the narrator, and tell us what this movie's
about?
Oh man,
he's a little much.
Well, howdy!
I liked him. I thought he was fun.
I like whenever he gets flirted with by Dolly or the girls. He's like, oh shoot!
What do you mean he's a little much?
He's just a little much. You know?
I mean, he does.
That's just who I am. That's just what I feel like. What are you talking about?
I don't know what you could be talking about.
He keeps cock blocking Burt Reynolds too, and Dolly Parton.
Sheriff!
It's Deputy Fred. Oh, hold that position.
What is, you know, what's Dolly's name again?
Officer Barney.
Miss Mona.
You know, Miss Mona was hit on the screen door in the back. You know, she let
you just missed her.
that's a fun scene. The but no, what is he what is the line he that Dolly gives to him? Ship. He's like, just the steer. Oh. Sometimes the cows like when the steers hit go to another pen.
The cows don't mind when the bull goes over to the other pasture.
Yeah.
I'm saying like, yeah, come on, like chew on your wife.
It's sort of it seems like every woman's deal in this whole town. They're like, they don't mind at
it's
all.
It's funny like how many conversations about this like are, it's interesting like the this does seem to be like a very pro-legalized prostitution. Like movie
or decriminalization, one might
like
say.
I was surprised that it had like a point of view in that way.
Honestly, same. And that it's
just like, hey, it brings business to the town. No one gets hurt. Like it's run well.
Well, then that's so many people just like on the town's level are like, it's not my business if people are doing like sex stuff, and we can't be trying to legalize or criminalize morality. Like that's,
yeah, I mean, you have lines in this movie where it's like, just because a sin doesn't mean it should be a crime or something.
As Ryan started with, I don't care who's getting their ass tickled, and frankly it sounds like a good time.
Yeah, as Ryan said, which I don't think that was a quote from the movie, but, by the way, listeners. I think that was just Ryan.
He just came in with like his original thoughts. I think that's what heaven is like. But, you know, there's a couple other kind of iterations of the sentiment of like, I pay taxes. I donate to charity. I'm doing a job. Like,
yeah, they're paying like, what? They keep saying they're paying double in taxes.
They're paying double. And that she also, at, you know, spoilers, when Dom DeLuise and his goons bust into the chicken ranch.
I can't believe that.
She's afterwards like, some crazy people like break into my house and take pictures of the people who live here. And I can't, who's going to do a fucking thing about it? Because that is, at the heart of it, you know, argument for decriminalization is that, like, whether or not you morally agree with sex work, if something does happen to the people doing it, they deserve, you know, legal recourse to get their justice. like that fucking news team broke into her house and was taking naked pictures of strangers. And I will say, if I may get to the point, a party where sex happens is not illegal, and they cannot prove that money changed hands selling sex, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Hell legally yeah. Speaking.
Let him cook.
He gives her a check, but like, that guy couldn't, the fucking, just calling him Dom DeLuise. What is the character's name?
Melvin Thorpe.
Melvin P. Thorpe, but like, you can't prove shit happened. So get your ass out of here. You know, she should have shot
that
him.
That scene when Melvin P. Thorpe, this, you know, one of those guys,
this we'll muckraker.
The bad guy of the movie, Melvin P. Thorpe, played by Dom DeLuise, one of those like guys on TV, it's just like finger waving, like,
real,
this is bad, I'm gonna expose this thing, blah blah blah.
What are they called?
Again, real, based on Marvin Harold Zindler.
Oh,
Who looks,
it's even more real today, I feel
like. He looks absolutely, he doesn't look exactly the same, but he looks,
it's
equally insane.
What were you saying, Dave? Of like, it's just, oh, but you know what burns my ass?
It's state, yeah. It's staged as like this goofy farce. He's like running in there and like, oh, you know.
He rips off a girl's towel or something. Like,
yeah,
it's
staged. It's like, isn't this goofy and crazy? But
he makes it worse than it is.
Made me so angry. Let the people fuck.
Yeah.
It's really on poster.
It's just one of those like, it's none of your business. You know.
Yeah.
Like, why is this anybody's? It's gross that you're making this the state of Texas's business, guy. You know,
and not that I approve of. Well, we'll get into the plot in a minute. Not that I approve of the sheriff shooting off a gun in a crowded town square for intimidation purposes.
It seems to be his thing, though. He does it with.
He does do that a lot.
Move. Yeah, that's
but,
his only move.
Yeah, why is it your business what happens 100 miles away from where you fucking live? Of like a business outside of that town, even get your
and
ass back
in the
to
town
Houston.
Is for it.
Yeah, people are chill with it.
Yeah.
Everyone's safe. Anyway, I'm getting fired up already.
Take us into the plot. We keep sidestepping the plot here like a dirty politician.
Like a dirty politician.
I mean, it's pretty simple, but I don't know. It's, you know, Ed. Ed's the deputy of the town.
Ed Earl.
Ed, and he's he's telling the story about the best little whorehouse in Texas.
Ed Earl is What's his face?
That's Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds. Oh, it's okay. the dorky deputy who's
Fred Wilkins.
Fred. Yeah. Anyway. Oh.
Anyway.
I thought someone was knocking, but it's the cat covering up a poop.
Nice. That's what happens in the cat house.
That cat's sneaking around. Yeah, sneaking around.
Yeah, and it's basically, it goes through the history of the whorehouse, which gets the nickname the chicken ranch, because during the Depression, the dudes couldn't pay for their services. So, but one chicken is one lay, I think is what they said.
And then there were, remember that guy with two chickens? He showed up with two chickens.
He's ready. He's ready to pay
for
what
he wants.
There's
like an amazing pull away of like the woman feeding the chicken. There's so many chickens. Yeah. I'm like, they got eggs for days.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like 1913, but it's like a factory farm for
the 30s or whatever. They do good business, and I like also in that opening, they're like, they checked every customer for the clap and washed them, and some feller said it was their favorite part.
Yeah, it's a great montage.
You get a great shot of a guy who's like getting washed.
He's just
like,
getting his
wow.
dick washed. He's like, whoa, soap and
amazing.
Water.
This opening of the movie when Jim Neighbors is narrating, giving the history of the chicken ranch, like it opens, you get like a helicopter shot, like going towards the chicken ranch and the music swelling. I was so into this movie. I was like,
just
all right,
from
let's
go.
Go.
It's really fun.
Yeah, I really didn't know what to expect, because this was a movie that I don't think is on a lot of people's radar unless you're, you know, at least for me, it wasn't, you know. And yeah, you're right. It was bigger than I expected it to be.
Yeah,
kind of thing. And also I didn't expect it to be like a whorehouse. I don't know why. Like I don't know. Like I didn't
thought whorehouse was code for something else.
Well, I don't know. I just thought it'd be about something else. Like that was the name of the movie, but like I don't know. I didn't expect it to be like.
You thought it was like a metaphor, like a line in the movie would
be
the best little whorehouse in Texas.
Oh, this place is like a whorehouse.
I figured this would be like, because this is the 80s, so I'm like, oh, so this is like a PG movie, probably.
No,
fully R. That's and you know what.
But that said, it's not like
it's pretty cartoony.
Like, you don't
though.
See. No. I would say like, you see some nudity.
It's
but
probably
it's not,
PG-13,
like,
probably.
I actually,
like,
I told this
to
sex
that you see, but it's always like, oh, I'm caught, and it's a moment. It's
I
not
told
like
this to Jackie while we were watching it. I think this is actually a pretty unsexy movie for like what is going on here. Like you know, there's an element of baseline sexiness that has to happen.
I would say it's fairly chaste in that way.
Yes, I do think so. And that was something that
I don't know.
I mentioned the Ebert review, and he didn't like it.
He wanted it to be sexier.
Kind of.
I just mean
that was one of his critiques of the movie, is that it should have been sexier.
Yeah, it's probably a little watered down.
And he kind of, I think I agree with one kind of angle of his where he's going with, and that Dolly Parton specifically feels like. She kind of doesn't get to be maybe it's not like I'm saying like I needed Dolly Parton to be sexier, but I feel like there's an element to her character that she kind of doesn't get to have, maybe because she's like a little bit older or like the matron character or something. But I feel like I wanted her and Burt Reynolds to maybe have a little bit of a, like a
sexier
moment.
I think you're forgetting that first scene with them together.
I agree, because I think I don't know if it's a matter of like
she's the star of the movie.
She's the star, and again, it's like we're not shying away from the. I think like the like sexual appeal of Dolly Parton, but I think it comes down to the fact that this movie is more camp than it is sexy.
Yeah.
I
almost wish it was a little more campy in a weird way.
I would agree there too. I think it's kind of trying to do. Both, and I wish it would go harder, but I think Dolly Parton throughout her career was also kind of trying to balance the equation of like sexy and camp, because she'll tell the story of like from a young age she coming from no money in Tennessee or something like that, she saw like what people told her was like the town tramp or whatever, and she just loved like that style of these flashy, you know, tight clothes and long nails and big hair, and so she, and you know, obviously she got the breast implants on purpose, but it's a matter of, you know, straddling that line of like, is this, you know, for myself because I enjoy the style of it, and how much I am trying to market myself as an attraction and an addition to the, you know, inarguable vocal talent and really fun on screen, like acting, you know, personality we get from her. But I think Dolly Parton would probably be the first to say throughout her career, it's like, she is trying to balance being like, quote unquote, too sexy and like just having fun with it. Because I think she probably does have fun with being sexy, but she knows that people are going to be weird about it.
To be fair, so like the scene when we see, so it's like, okay, so Jim Nabors tells us that the sheriff, Ed Earl, played by Burt Reynolds, is like, he's kind of cool with it. You know, we're not busting him or anything like that. They serve a valuable purpose in the community, whatever. We find out that Mona, Dolly Parton, and Ed Earl have had an ongoing affair going for some time.
That was a twist for me, and I didn't know that. You know, that
I didn't know that was coming either.
I thought it was going
to. And it was a twist for the movie because apparently in the stage show, their relationship was they had an affair 15 years ago, and that's it. In the movie, they are having an ongoing affair. And that scene, like to mention Dolly Parton and the sexiness, like true, she's not overtly like. It's all kind of contained.
You know what I think? I think
her and Bert.
You know what I think some of it might be is, and maybe this is like I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I think this movie just might not, it doesn't really have like a, it was filmed by a dude, you know, but it doesn't feel like male gaze-y, you know, like the cinematography doesn't feel like it has the male gaze, even though it's this kind of like.
I don't know. Her boobs are just, are like in every shot. You know,
but that's just,
and they get bigger as the movie goes on.
But I
don't think a new experimental lens for.
I don't think
boobs.
The cinematography is like it's not the Michael Bay male gaze.
Well, and
you
know,
they didn't shoot movies like that until Michael Bay came.
But as we were saying earlier, the kind of like not quite erotic, but more towards camp, like the scene again after the football players are singing half naked about how excited they are to have heterosexual sex.
It's pretty male gaze, I must say. You know,
but. Then they get to the chicken ranch and there's this whole thing of the ladies come out in these like fancy ball gowns and dance with the men and then they rip away the big skirts and they're all wearing like black and red lingerie and they're still dancing with the dudes. But even that, it's not like erotic. It's like it does feel just like I don't know. I think that is the camp of
it. The director is gay. I don't know if that changes anything.
I mean, you feel it. I think you feel it. I think you feel it.
And like, you know, really cool. He was openly gay, like back then.
Damn,
which
good
is
for
crazy.
Him.
Yeah.
But
we're saying like Dolly doesn't get to be sexy enough.
I don't think
movie.
So. I think she's sexy as hell.
I disagree. Yeah,
I love the way she. I love does. When she talks. I just love like everything.
Yeah,
I like get choked up just seeing Dolly just like talk to people and stuff. Not even like
I do
singing.
Think she is the best special effect in this movie.
Yeah,
is Dolly Parton.
I think she gets to be sexy and sweet, especially in the scene with Bert and her in the beginning having their affair. She's literally
so
bought him like put on these little tiny.
It is so it's so casual
whatever.
And stuff, and it's so. And
I mean,
to
be clear, like she is definitely sexy in this movie. I feel like
I don't know.
I kind of agree that like the character, it is a lot of like. It's like just it's
worth,
missing a notch. It's missing
it's
one.
It's
worth
suggested because honestly, during this scene with Bert and Dolly when they're having their affair, you know, before Jim Nabors comes and ruins it, I was honestly expecting her to pull out like a strap on or something like that. Like let's be a little experimental.
Let's have fun.
You get the because you get the sense. That
he's
like,
just like all right, you know, it's great. I find this is the sexiest stuff.
I would agree because it feels very like adult and lived in a way that like isn't you know it is exciting. They sing a whole song about how exciting it is to like sneak around with each other and
well, that was one of the Dolly Parton originals, by the way.
Oh,
sneaking
oh, really?
Around. Sneaking around.
My favorite
Dolly.
Song in the movie.
Oh, Ed Earl, I like a lot of things, but these afternoons with you have got to top the list.
Yeah? Well, sing it to me, honey.
I like fancy, frilly things. High-heel shoes and diamond rings. Ragtime bands and western swing and sneaking around with you.
Well, I like beer and rodeos, detective books and dominoes, football games and Cheerios, and sneaking around with you.
Sneaking around with you, going around at two, doing what lovers do, whenever they're sneaking around. I like lots of cash on hand and dirty jokes about the Fuller Brush Man.
I like stuff I understand, like sneaking around with you.
You know, I like a thrill that has no strings.
Friendship that don't ever change.
And laughter from the joy of things. And sneaking around with you.
Sneaking around with you. Going around that two. Doing what lovers do.
Whenever they're sneaking around.
The two Dolly, so the song or the movie opens with like, based on the songs from blah 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 with some Dolly Parton
with
originals.
Additional Dolly Parton
and doesn't really I wish it did spell out clear which ones she did in the those credits, but I looked it up and she did this Sneaking Around and she did of course I Will Always Love You, later popularized by Whitney Houston.
Is that okay? I was gonna ask because I'm like, that's the Whitney Houston song, isn't
yes.
it?
Yeah.
And that's or one
I guess
of those
I should
things
say
where
that's
like,
the Dolly Parton song.
It's like the Johnny Cash doing Hurt situation where like Dolly Parton has been on record in the same way Trent Reznor has of like, oh yeah, it's their song now. Like that they did a better version of it than I did.
Sneaked around with you.
But also Dolly, you know, still gets the royalties from all that. So yeah. Good for her.
She built a freaking theme park after.
Yeah. I'm just imagining like the cursed version where Trent Reznor covered I Will Always Love You and Whitney Houston covered Hurt.
It's tangentially related, but you brought it up. I was hoping somebody would. What is Dolly World exactly?
It's like
did anyone bring up Dolly
World? It's like Knott's Berry Farm.
Right.
Like,
someone just did.
Ryan did.
It's like Knott's Berry Farm kind of, but it's Dolly.
Some like little roller coasters, a lot of merch, a lot of gift shops.
Like Dolly's like almost like Hall of Fame is there too, kind of thing.
What do you mean her Hall of Fame?
Okay. Like all over like, you know, awards and like costumes
records
and stuff.
It's kind of like a Dolly museum, but also I think there's like some kind of theme park.
Do you think there's like a wig hall?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
There's a wing where I can just look at all the wigs.
The wig hall of fame.
And it's become pretty big, like in a way there's like, it's like a resort now down in like, I forget where.
It's in Tennessee, right? Because she's from there?
Yeah, Tennessee.
Right. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan. Isn't it a thing that like for a theme park enthusiast, it's like well-respected as a example of good theming?
I think so. I think it's just one of those like it's like I mean in a way it's like an amusement park, but it's actually like a theme park because it is Dolly and stuff.
Like, I've heard Dolly theme themes? Park people be like, oh, I wish like Disneyland like was more inspired by Dollywood with like kind of the way
I think just people miss now like the originals type of thing now because everything now at Disneyland is like existing IP and stuff.
Sure.
Like
sure.
Even the original
there's
stuff
no Tomorrowlands
like,
or
well like the like even like Pirates and Haunted Mansion have like stuff that are related to the movies now in them. You know what I mean? Like the original stuff's getting all peeled away to add like Finding Nemo and like the 20,000 Leagues Under, just like that kind of stuff. And I think like people like stuff like these theme park enthusiasts love stuff like Knott's Berry Farm because they still have like the old Prospector ride and stuff,
right,
and they make their own lore with it. I think Dollywood is supposed to do a lot of that.
Same thing with like pinball tables, you know. Like I love that we get the Pokemon table, you know, but I do wish we got like give me Medieval Madness, you know, give me Attack from Mars, give me World Cup, you know.
So Dollywood is a little bit near Knoxville. It looks like it's probably like an hour from it. And there's so many like little parks now surrounding it. There's like a place where you can be like a kid and like ride like tractors, like dig with like claw machines.
Oh, wow.
There's like a aviation museum, an aerial adventure park.
Ryan, are you seeing, does Knoxville have a protective bubble over it such that it's not been affected by the apocalypse? Like, could we just go to Knoxville, Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, this is looking through like the time portals and stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering, I'm wondering if maybe as a company retreat, Dave should pay for us to all go.
I want to go to Dollywood really bad.
I'm just kind of curious, maybe I can set up a store like this, but is Dolly World like the Vatican?
Well,
it doesn't have to pay taxes? Or Dollywood, like... It doesn't have to pay taxes.
You know,
or
in a
like
just
that.
World, in a just world, Dollywood would not have to pay taxes.
I mean, much like the chicken ranch in this film, it seems like a useful, part of society. It's attracting tourism.
Well, the chicken ranch pays double taxes. To be fair,
it's pretty funny because I I don't know if anybody uses their old Chad Google Maps to like mark things they want to go.
You mean Chugle Maps?
Chugle. And I have, it's actually pretty close to Dollywood. Let's see how far actually it is. It's approximately only 12 minutes away.
is the Titanic museum attraction. Oh, they built, I mean, like, we got to go there. Or Dave, half Titanic.
You gotta buy us these tickets, and
why is
go.
That in Tennessee?
I don't know. I think why it's not? Just. I think for some reason the South is like littered with like theme parks and amusement parks and stuff. And I don't know. It's just a thing.
Well, I just assumed it would be maybe if anywhere like New York or like somewhere over in Britain or something.
No,
like
no,
that.
No. That's too.
Well, no, no. This is like a weird museum. This is like a fucked up.
This
like,
is a weird. Okay.
This is one where I think they talk about like, did the Titanic like actually sink?
Or oh, it, like, okay.
Hell yeah. Yeah. This is like
really interesting to speak.
Yeah, Dave. This is one where somehow like creationism is gonna come up.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
you know,
it's like it looks like creationist museum, but it's Titanic somehow.
Oh, well, wow. It's about the Titanic specifically.
But I don't
That's
know.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, yeah. I've never been to Dollywood. I actually haven't spent much time in the South, but I would love to go to Dollywood.
Enough about Dollywood. Yeah. Let's get back to the chicken wing.
Yeah, well, I know we're still on this dam's opening, the scene with them, but I found it like I thought watching this start, you're like, okay, it's going to be Sheriff versus Dolly. Maybe they have a courtship that forms. And Same. Then being together right in the beginning made me like, job like whoa did not expect that. I loved that about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
with you on that,
like, yeah,
that
and I thought yeah. that and yeah I okay they should have fucked right there. I'm sorry that they got they if they would have maybe that would have made it yep. to the sex
they should have consummated yep.
but she did peel
screen.
Off like, he just he got her to put on that little
if
little,
they had
that
just
little thong.
Like let it's just the thing I think the thing for me is like this is a movie where we see people have sex, like we see they show that, right? And I wish we
they
would get
been
that
having
for our
sex
leads.
Rhythmically with the beat.
No, well, I want that from our leads.
There's like a couple
I mean?
Moments though where it cuts to them in bed and she doesn't have anything on under the sheets. And I don't know.
Yeah,
I find
there's
that,
stuff.
I like
there's
stuff.
I just, again, I'm just saying, I wish it went.
You
one
wanted to see full frontal. Just say it. Just say it. You wanted,
I wanted
to see
Burt
everything.
To hang out longer in that, you know. That
I know
weird
that that has to be
on.
Said. We should have gotten more
what was
screen
that
time.
Thing that he, was it just like
a just
see-through
a
speedo kind
I don't
of
think
vibe?
It was see-through at all. It was just tiny. No, and it had little snaps on the side so Dolly could flirtatiously snap it off him.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't look sexy. People tell me I have a real sexy quality about me.
Well, you do, but them boxer shorts don't. But you know, when I was getting me some sexy things, well, I thought about you because they have a his and her sex department in Fredericks, and I thought you might want to try that on for size.
What the hell is it, a Japanese slingshot?
No, it's jockey shorts with little silver snaps on the side.
Little is a key word here. They are real little. In fact, a guy could hurt himself wearing those things. I don't think so, thank you very much.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I love that he's just sitting there with his pants down, like that, like just kind of casual and like goofy. I don't know. Find
that.
That
was
find
really
that funny.
Funny.
It was a very funny like shot for shot where you have like the shot of Dolly Parton who's wearing like the most ornate Dolly Parton makeup, a wig, like this like expensive and ornate lingerie,
with
just
like
all the
nails
effort
and the
work.
Earrings and the
yeah, all the earrings, all the
stockings.
Effort and work and you know to go into this the most beautiful creature you've ever seen, and then it cuts to like the guy. Who's just like wearing boxers because yeah. it's comfy, and he has his pants around his ankles,
and then he shuffles
like,
forward
yeah,
with
yeah.
the high
pants. Up socks, and he's like zero effort in, that he has put into any of this. He just looks like a guy, like,
and that's
cool.
why she buys him the Speedo. She it's, said, "Let's
no,
do
yeah,
tit
no,
for
yeah,
tat."
Right. Don't worry, I'm saying this as a positive. Yeah. Like, it's like a very good like commentary on the you know. The heterosexual relationship.
Isn't there like a line where she like goes in the bathroom, comes out, and he's like, "You did that quick," or something. Like that. And then,
yeah, and she's like, "Well, I've had a lot of experience taking on and off my clothes."
Yeah, yeah,
it's
pretty
cute.
Cool. I like that. I think it's really cute and fun. I think it's cool.
It is.
It's
is.
A bummer it gets interrupted by
I know
Moose or whatever
my
the
fucking
hell
is golly. Hey, what are you wearing that for?
Yeah, yeah.
So wait a minute. I don't understand, Ryan. If the Sheriff Ed Earls is fine with the chicken house, then the chicken ranch, then what's the conflict in this movie?
Well, one of my only notes in the damn phone is close on the count of TV, and the TV ruins the chicken ranch.
Oh, the fucking yeah. close on its count
so
of the TV.
So the close down on the count of TV is
you know,
a
I think
real,
this is interesting that this popped
a real
up,
detail.
Because
that's
Jackie,
a true detail.
You foretold this earlier this year. You're like, TV ruined everything. Or TV is the bane of existence or whatever.
TV and the internet ruined
TV
everything.
TV and the internet.
You know, we're just trying to mind our business and have our little brothel and do all of that. And then some fucking Christian bullshit has to arrive.
And I would say, even with the Christian bullshit, it's less about that. It's more about the TV, the sensationalism of like the news and like
and being able to put that the magnifying glass on stuff that otherwise would have just been some local little whatever.
I think we are all thinking it. It's about cancel culture.
Yeah. They canceled Dolly, damn it.
They did. And that's the conflict of the show, really. The movie is just like trying to keep the chicken ranch open. The woman that like. I guess one of the critiques I read about that people didn't like compared to the stage show, I mean, this is cut to the end, but like it seems like when the ladies are having to close the chicken shop, they're just like, oh, I guess I'll go to school or I'll go to do this or whatever. And then, but really it's like, I think in the stage show, it's like they're going back to the streets sort of situation, which is like not like, oh, I can go do something else. Like there's nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, there is to be fair, like an implication of
that
people
darkness
still,
isn't there.
Still staying in prostitution. Like they're, one of them's like, oh, I'll go, guess it's to Vegas. But there's no one is like, I'm taking a step down. Like this is going to be, oh, back to the streets or like back to a worse scenario.
I guess that's sort of what something, the stage show
everyone's
did.
Going to something better. That's, in the movie.
Yes, I mean, the movie is certainly a sanitized version of a lot of things.
That was a big, big Ebert problem, again, just from the review I read, was how sanitized it was. And he was kind of like, a whorehouse is a much worse place. He was very, but I think he's probably, I would disagree with that. I think he's a bit more like anti-sex work in general than I might be. But I do think there's a truth to like kind of what he was saying and to what you're saying, Ryan, like there is definitely like a almost like Disneyfied version of this. Like everyone is happy and it all works out. And this is a true story. This is a real thing, you know, even not just this story, like it's, you know, the oldest profession in the book. Like it is a very sanitized version of that. But whatever, you know,
it's like the IRL version is both worse and better than like people that would think.
But it's both worse and better than what Ebert thinks.
It could be obviously incredibly dark and incredibly harmful to a lot of people, but also just really mundane and normal. And, you know, like, again, at a certain point, like, a job's a job's a job. What are you offering, you know, is this the governor or the TV person offering to put these women through school or to do this or to do that, or they just want to say like, don't do this.
And that's how here's done.
Yeah, just don't do that. Okay. All right.
Which is Melvin Thorpe in this movie. Dom DeLuise himself. I was doing a DeLuise.
That was you were so spot on, it cut out from all sounds.
Yeah, I was like, I could not even.
It's so funny how good he is in this and how fucking much I hate him in Secret of NIMH.
Yeah. Well, I forgot. This is our second.
It's our second DeLuise.
Yeah.
1982 was the year of DeLuise.
He was on fire.
And he is good in this movie. You really hate him. The first time we see him, it's behind the scenes. It's, you know, Bert's coming to talk to him. He's like, hey, would you mind not coming to this town? Like, we like things the
and
way
I
they
think,
are.
Like, you're immediately just like, what the fuck?
Well, because we like, see him putting on his whole costume.
For me, I was like, I don't have a frame of reference for who this guy is. Like, well, he's own kind of weirdo.
Yeah, you didn't think that
he doesn't care about the. He's like, he probably would go to the chicken ranch if he could. But he's just like, no, I'm playing essentially a character. Sure. I'm gonna galvanize all these people to get to, you know, because I shake my finger, it's bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm
like
not
a Tucker
even
Carlson kind
what
of
I'm
guy.
Saying, but
yeah, he is kind of like a preacher. He has like a preacher.
Yeah, I felt
vibe.
Like a Tucker Carlson guy who's definitely
Tucker,
like
a. That's a good analogy.
Who wants to
Bill O'Reilly back in the
he
day.
Knows that you know. Outrage sells and
he knows he's throwing bullshit, you know, kind of thing.
And it's funny of again how much the amount of camp in this movie, because this whole scene where we meet him, he's putting on his whole costume and underpinnings and everything. He's got his girdle. He's got shoulder pads. He's got the sock for a dick print. And he's putting on all of that. And then this, like, not quite star spangled, but like it's close. Got the boots. It's got it's the shoulder pads. It's really, he's got a lot of really bold looks throughout the film, which are a lot of fun. He also has the craziest wig in the world.
Oh my God.
And I love this detail of, like, they're constantly following him. He's got, like, this a cappella backup band, and it's really they're in costumes too. It's so funny.
You get the sense that he has hugged his fair share of American flags.
Oh yes. Oh yes. And then as soon as the camera's off, he's like, I don't fucking care about that shit.
You were going to say something, Mike? You were asking me something?
About the wig, perhaps?
Yeah, Dave, have a hard-hitting question in the vein of Melvin P. Thorpe.
Whoa, I didn't know it was gotcha hour.
Oh, my God. I think I forgot it.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Lucky me.
You know, it'll come back to me.
Do you use a sock? Yes or no?
You're lucky, Michael. I was getting ready to pull my gun out and shoot it in the air.
You know.
Like six times.
Keep the gun out.
But yeah, this Melvin Thorpe guy, Ed Earl, Sheriff Ed Earl, played by Burt Reynolds, goes to Houston to, or it's Houston, right?
It's Houston,
Houston,
yeah.
To go talk to him, like,
that
hey,
shithole.
We're fine with things how they are, Austin.
No,
we're fine with how things are in
Houston,
our town.
Houston is
come here.
Houston is where the TV guy is. Austin is the capital he has to go argue his case.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And he gets set up by Melvin Thorpe. He's like, just go into this room. This is where the advertisers.
We'll talk after. Oh, he is such a charlatan. It's so good.
Dave, I remember.
There's tables on him, and suddenly it's like, all right, tonight, on tonight's episode of Outrage, or whatever the hell this show is called, like, there's a house of ill repute in Texas right under our noses, and it's all, this guy lets it happen.
Sheriff.
And that man is right there, and he points in the and the whole, I love this shot. The whole audience turns and looks at him and gives him the scowl.
And Burt Reynolds has already poured himself, like, a couple fingers of scotch or whatever. He's just like, huh?
Dave, I remember what I was going to ask you. Okay, we're all quick to insult this man. And I get that everything we've seen, you know, we have a right to. I want to ask you, how do you feel about his reporting on the candy bar that was not putting the amount of peanuts they said they were putting in their peanut candy bar?
He got them to change it.
He got them to change it and
you know,
go back
honestly,
to actually
adding. That makes me wonder if we're talking about the origins of Melvin Thorpe, if he began as just a guy that's like, I'm going to, you know, like eyewitness news on your side.
It's an undeniable noble cause for a noble result, you know, which we can't ignore about this character.
It makes me wonder if he started with noble intentions and then got corrupted by power.
He started as like a Ralph Nader, like, I'll get the cars to install the seatbelts.
But then he got a taste of fame.
What's Melvin Thorpe's story?
I'm glad I remember that because I didn't want to let that go about this character that I do think is very funny, that he did have one noble crusade, which was to get the amount of peanuts as advertised.
I think if
the
consumer is dull. Oh, yeah. And he's he's originally from Jersey and moved to Texas like 6 years prior.
Texas just suits me.
It suits my morals or whatever he says.
I knew New Jersey was behind this.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I'm from Jersey.
No, I'm from Jersey. Don't worry. I'm Dom DeLuise.
And from here on, the story, he does not let up. He goes to the town, he brings this camera crew, and at this point, Burt Reynolds
he's here to muckrake.
He's trying to muck some rakes. He shoots up in the air, and I love it because the whole town gets behind him. He's like, for one thing, I ain't never taken a brab in my life. He shoots up in the air, he pushes him through the water, and Dom DeLuise is like,
Dom DeLuise is like drowning in a 1 foot fountain and like throwing himself amongst it.
You think this is a victory? This is like a victory for Burt Reynolds, but it turns out no, he lost his temper, and now they're going to use that against him. Look at this!
I love
out of town. He threatened me with violence.
They play this off too, like the sheriff is so dumb he didn't know what a camera was.
He's
like, I don't know about this technology.
It's like
they were recording you shooting your gun, yelling at this guy. Like the camera was in your face. Why'd you do it?
He just got caught up in the moment and he just did not even notice that.
I mean, probably, but like
he does talk about how he's like, I didn't understand this could happen. I don't know about camera.
You should learn what a camera is, dude.
I think he just saw red.
Yes, but come on.
You are ignoring the words he says, Dave, where he talks about how he's like, I didn't understand technology could do this.
Maybe in a couple of weeks, the whole thing will blow over, and then you can let your regular customers come.
I warned you yesterday about losing your temper and carrying on.
Last night, you said you was proud of me.
Last night, I wasn't on the 11 o'clock news.
Well, I didn't know that son of a bitch was going to make an idiot out of me. I don't know anything about that electronic bullshit. How was I supposed to handle that situation?
Ed, how could you not have known? We film ourselves doing the dirty deed all the time.
You love it. You love watching the footage.
Don't you ever turn on your... You keep your body cam on, right? You don't turn that off,
you?
Do
never
you?
Turn it off, do you? I mean, why would you? That's...
Our department doesn't like body cams. We like it that way.
Ed Earl. Ed Earl, look at me.
But that's not the end of it. Yeah, so he's a fool. He gets played as a fool online on air.
Online.
Online.
He goes viral.
Yeah, just like the story gets out, you know.
Yeah.
And at this point, Burt Reynolds tells Dolly Parton's like, all right, look, there's too much heat. Can you just close the chicken ranch for like a couple days?
No, he says 2 months.
Like, this is two months.
Yeah, which is why she's like, well, that's a long fucking time.
There's a 2 months initial thing. Because
they think it'll just blow over. And if you don't give them anything to peep in on, it'll just.
You know, honestly, which if we're taking it to modern times, that probably would work. Yeah. Because the news cycle is just like, what's the new thing that everyone's outraged about?
You probably could do a less than a month. Maybe
you
could
close it for a week and a half. And
I specifically that night had no one there, maybe some events could have been avoided. But there's Thanksgiving.
The biggest one of all.
It's the big game. And the college boys are so happy.
I love that the whole way they treat this is like, we can't let the community down, guys.
They've been looking for it's
like
a tradition.
The whole town is riding on this.
It's
like,
even bigger than the game.
It really,
is the party
this
at the
movie,
chicken ranch.
Really reminds me of, and I guess it must have been maybe it inspired these because these would have all been later, but it reminds me of like, we can't let the ski lodge close, guys. Like,
it has that vibe.
Yeah, we have the one big party of the year. Well, we've got to hold it.
Doesn't the first act, doesn't it have Dolly Parton dropping off like a check for the football team or something like that?
It does for like Pee Wee or something, but
it doesn't feel like it's about the money.
No,
that doesn't seem like a concern.
That's just to say that she's
the people down.
That's just to say, you know, it's showing us that
she's saving the cat right there.
Yeah, she's an upstanding member of society, and people
all these
like
girls
her.
Have sex with these guys.
Well, I mean, yeah,
he's clearly heterosexual guys.
I mean, it's like her character, like she gives to charity. Like she really, I think this character, the Dolly Parton character, really, she has a sense of community, and even the way she's running this, you know, they kind of set up the lore of the chicken shop. As Ryan called it.
Chicken shop date.
The chicken shop.
Have a date here.
She is not, Dolly Parton is not the founder of this. She inherited it. Basically, someone was the leader of this for a long time and she died. And it was almost like, is it going to close down? But Dolly Parton's like, no, I'll carry on the torch.
That's what kind of the first song's about. Or the second song, maybe.
She's trying to carry on the legacy of this place that is a sort of home for people in tough situations. I do think there is some element of darkness they have in this, and I think that that's the amount of it. And there's an element of Dolly trying to be a good leader to people in a tough situation, and that I think is one of the best things about the movie. Best things about her character is she is a leader to these people and trying to be a good like role model and for people in a tough situation.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know I told Bert he's going to be, or Ed, I know he's going to be mad, but like,
I gave
I can't
my word.
Let these guys down.
And in her mind, it's like, sure, we'll close for 2 months starting tomorrow. But that was that night that
right.
muckraker
it's like,
came
come
in.
On, and surely the one night, you know.
It should be fine. And again,
and they're
just
not,
gonna have
they
to
do
check
say
for
they're going
to
be closed to the public. So they're like, they are going to close themselves off to the
party.
General public. So no, like, sting operation would show up. They are taking some amount of measured precautions.
Yeah, it seems
you know?
Pretty secluded that, you know, they're kind of.
And I will reiterate, having a party is not illegal.
This feels like one of those things because Melvin
can't prove
Forbes
that money changed hands.
This seems like one of those things where, like, Don DeLuise is Melvin Thorpe. He goes in there with his crew. He just breaks in. She's trespassing. Yeah. He breaks in. And it seems like one of those situations where it's like, haha, I got you. But it's like, if Dolly
You're
really wanted
crimes.
To, she probably could have, like, pressed charges. Hey, you were trespassing. But it's one of those things where it's like, well, doesn't matter. Public opinion's on my side. So it doesn't matter if the law's on your side.
Yeah.
There are two very Dave-coded characters in this movie. And the first one is the old man in this raid.
Oh my God!
The old man
that gives
the football boys a ride when their bus breaks down on the way to the chicken ranch.
I thought this old man was gonna. I thought this was gonna be the guy that, like, you know, like, turns them in somehow.
I thought he was gonna rat them out. No, he's just here for a good time. He said, "Hey, fellas, room for one more."
I thought that they were gonna do, like, a thing where, like, they open those doors and they're like, I don't know, like, sewing or something, or like playing cards or something. You know what I mean? Like, the whole
it's comically
like they somehow, like, knew they're ready or something like that, and there's, like, nothing going on. Like, they're playing, like, they're, like, teaching classes or something like that. Like, I thought I was gonna do that, but no, they open the doors and they're straight on banging. And I mean, like,
that's what happened.
See some
Ryan,
more mana.
You know? I know the lights are off, because you don't ever see the lights off. It's so bright, this damn movie. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, the lights are off in this room, and they're actually having sex.
We get some pretty saucy silhouettes in this movie of people banging.
More than silhouettes, Dave.
I know, yeah. You mentioned the lights were off. One scene where the lights were on, and we see a silhouette.
I'm just saying, for how watered down the movie is, to get to this point, I was very surprised. And yes. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, you know.
I love also the there's a senator there at that party who, like,
well,
helped sponsor the
yeah
and he's the one paying for
aren't
it.
They like, what do you have to say about this, senator?
And he, like, yeah, they're busted in. He's being, like, tickled with a feather duster and, like, baby powder, and his response is he just, like, goes into, like, the closet in the room or something. It's really funny.
I love it.
His response is just like, I can only deduce that I was placed there
by communists.
Well, no. He specifically says, and this felt like very true to real life. He's like, I do have a comment on this. So I have no recollection of it. All I know is I am very anti-communist, so I can only deduce communist sympathizers drugged me.
And placed
me. Look over there.
Yeah.
It's harmed my reputation. But I do, and it is, you know, I'll plead for laughs. But again, it gets to the, you know, I think heart of things of that, like, all these men in power who are more than happy to use the services provided by Dolly and these women, but when it comes time push to shove, it's just like, oh, well, I mean, it's just like, okay, so they're good enough to fuck, but they're not good enough to support.
Wasn't it like was George Santos the guy who, like, had donate, like, put, like, one of his many crimes was he used campaign contributions to OnlyFans accounts?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's kind of a joke in a lot of political stuff of, like, obviously all these dudes are going to sex workers and this or that. And as long as everyone is an adult, which, you know, many of these politicians can't even do that, it's like paying for an adult services is not my business. It's everything else that they have to do that's, you know, violent or underage or, again, just like going to them at night and then the next morning making their lives worse. And that's why Dolly Parton should have shot all of them with the gun.
I wish she blew someone away.
I wanted her to use that gun so bad.
Then it becomes a whole different movie. The Trial.
I know.
Of Mona
I know.
Strangely.
And she knows, well, and that's the thing, too, of that character knows that if she fires a shot, you know, in earnest, she's going to get the book thrown at her.
It would have been insane if she just, like, shot the reporter.
Shot him, like, point blank.
Just immediately.
I mean, to be fair, they were trespassing.
They were, and isn't Texas a stand your ground?
The sheriff desperately trying to clean up that mess.
Oh, hey. This is, like, 7 or 9 years ago. That wasn't on the books yet.
You know,
from 1982. Because they do say that. What did they say? Like 7 or 9 years ago?
Something like that, yeah. It was, so
it
this,
was 1973 this... that it shut down.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, I wanted her to kill people with a gun. It sucks that she didn't get to. Sex work is work. Anyway, where were we?
Well, at this point, like, it's bad. It's, you know, it's like they got the footage they needed. It's happening. We told you.
Yeah.
And now at this point, Bert's just like, all right. They got a scene here. Bert's just pissed that she told him she was in a club.
Oh, this scene
between
them.
And there's that crazy line where he's just like, it's like the moment of the movie where he's like, well, Lisa ain't a whore.
And it's...
Like, mm-hmm. Suddenly, you hear pin drop.
I said out loud, I said, fuck you. You use me as your mistress. You use that damn Dulcie May as your in-town wife. And you even use that little boy of hers so you can play weekend.
You leave that little boy out of
it. You're playing it, Earl. You're just a big overgrown kid playing at being a man.
I don't have to listen to this shit. Damn it. I'm the law, and if I choose to, I'll close this place down till hell freezes over.
Don't you threaten me. I'm telling the truth, and you know it. And all of your big dreams are going to the legislature. That's all they are. They're just dreams. Because you ain't never going to be no more than you are right now. A chicken shit sheriff in a chicken shit town.
You may be right. It's a hell of a lot better than being a whore.
And you wish, I kind of wish Dolly said, well, fuck you. You know what I mean?
I want to hit her hard. She's been hearing that her whole life. You know?
I know. And yeah. The, just the look on her face and the tears in her eyes. And I wanted to, what did she say at one point? She started poor just to get to be an outcast.
There's a moment. And I really got to hand it to Reynolds and Parton. They're great in this movie. Again, even despite, any onset.
Chemistry is chemistry.
There's a moment where it's basically right after he says it. It's like Reynolds sees what he just said, how she feels, and you see it on his face. He's like, oh,
I mean, broke her heart.
It's a very real moment of just like, you know, you're in a fight with someone and you say the thing that's over the line, and just like, you know, it's over the line.
You immediately realize, like, oh,
and you're like,
that.
Oh fuck,
that was the worst thing you could have said.
Like, that was too much, you know.
But then at that point, it's like, well, I can't say anything else now. I better just leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so he's just like, all right, well, I can't talk to her, so I fucked up. I'm going to go to Austin to see the governor, played by Charles Durning, and try to make this right. Just appeal to the governor. Like, look, everyone in our town, despite all this craziness that this asshole muckraker is pulling up, we are for the chicken ranch.
Yeah. Now we are on to our second character, who I think is very Dave-coded, is the governor.
He gets
Listen,
this...
there ain't no, it's nothing funny going around in apocalypse video, okay?
Dave, what is your opinion on the Middle East?
We don't even have an adult video section anymore. I closed it down, okay? Granted, it blew up, but it was a lot out of my hands, but we do not have an adult video section anymore.
Governor, can you say more about that explosion? Gotta go!
Gotta go!
Did you get anything from him? No, fucking nothing.
But it's funny, as campy as this movie is, it gets surprisingly real in its satirization, especially of politicians. Of just like, I'm just going to sidestep. I'm not going to answer your question at all.
Not even one bit.
Nope.
It's pretty funny. It's who was that again? It's
Charles Durning.
Charles Durning, yeah.
He does this
move.
I think
he got an Academy Award nomination for this.
Oh,
he
did. Damn.
Yeah.
That's good for him.
Movie. And
good
he's not
him.
Really in it that much. I think you hear the governor spoken about in the movie, but you don't see him until like the third act.
You might see him like maybe flashed on the screen but he gets this great musical number. He's like I said, he's got this fantastic energy. He does this move a couple of times of he like puts his hat on sideways and then turns his head because he's sidestepping around. It's really good. It's fantastic character work.
And you get the sense that he enjoys like giving these non-answers. He's like, mm-hmm. I'm totally unaccountable for anything.
Have you seen the evidence of the disgraceful situation at the chicken ranch?
Fellow Texans, I am proudly standing here to humbly see. I assure you, and I mean it. Now who says I don't speak out as plain as day? And fellow Texans, I'm for progress and the flag. Long may it fly. I'm a poor boy, come to greatness. So it follows that I cannot tell a lie.
What the hell did he say?
Same as usual, not a damn thing.
He he also, we get this, the, you know, confrontation between Burt Reynolds and him before his aides come in and tell him how the polls have turned out, where Burt Reynolds is like, you know, the Chicken Ranch is, it's been around all these years. All these people have gone to it in the town and otherwise, and maybe even some, you know, politicians who had a real nice time. And the governor was like, you're not threatening me, are you? Or something like that. It's just like, you, come on, again, you have... You've been where you've been, okay?
And it's
Let's
a
not be
where
a
it's
hypocrite.
Like, okay, he made the heartfelt plea. Oh, he's going to change the guy's mind. And then immediately the aide comes in like, it's 47% in favor of closing it down. Well, that's all I need.
And that's what I got.
This, again, this did happen. Like, the sheriff from this town did go to the governor to try and plead for it to stay open. And the governor didn't, you know, didn't change his mind.
It's surprising. I didn't think that I thought they were going to, like you said, they were going to save the freaking ski lodge, you know.
Save the, the community center.
It's kind of interesting that it is, that's how it ends. Yeah, they don't.
Them's the breaks.
It's funny, like, yeah, it is a bummer ending in that sense, but like, it does feel like they did the Wayne's World mega happy ending nonetheless, because, oh, we didn't mention this in the movie, Bert tells Dolly, like, you know, I have like political aspirations, I actually kind of would like to get into like the state legislature or something.
In which case, you gotta stop shooting your gun on camera. You gotta stop doing that, Adderall.
Yeah, and she tries to like hype him up, like, no, you could do it. Like, everyone likes you, everyone respects you.
Oh, they have that sweet scene. They went up to the lake and they're watching shooting stars. And they're talking about aliens with no peckers.
Oh, that was a really good
that's
scene.
So funny.
It's so really cute. Dolly says like, oh, when I was a girl, I wanted to be a ballerina. And Earl is just like, oh, go ahead, jump up and down. And she's like, I'd block both my eyes. It's so fun. She's so good. Again, I said it, but just like her, every time she laughs, it's so like infectious. And you're like, I want to be up at the lake with Dolly Parton.
Yeah. And at the end, even though the chicken ranch has been closed down, like Bert's like, you know what? I want to marry you. And she's like, well, what about your hopes of someday being in state legislature? He's like, I don't care. I don't care if people know or not.
Yeah. He kind of does what the other guys didn't want to do.
You know? Well, he apologized. Do we talk about like how they got, you know, because we last said like he calls her a whore.
Oh, yeah.
They get back together. Like
she learns from the girls who work at the chicken ranch that he, you know, drove to Austin to fight for her. She has that earlier conversation with Jewel of like, he'll never say he loves me and I've accepted that. And then here at the end he comes and says, I love you.
Like, hey, by the way, I love you.
She's the maid also in Billy Madison. You remember, like,
I knew I recognized
and she
goes,
and she's like, if you're going to stay home, you can help me shave my armpits. And he's like, Jesus Christ, I'll go to school. That's what it was.
She gets a great moment during the Muckraker raid where she starts like beating the shit out of a couple of the camera guys and like flipping them over the stair rail. There's some uncomfortable, like, mammy racial stuff happening.
I'm like, is this like a multiverse thing? Did the character from Gone with the Wind show up in this movie? What the hell?
She's serving a Hattie McDaniel, certainly. Also, arguably, I mean, you know, I'm glad she got a part, got paid. I love, like I said, she gets to beat up
some
reporters. You know, but it could.
I like the actress.
Certainly could be better, the racial politics at play. But it is, you know.
What do you think she's into at the chicken ranch?
I like that she says, like, I can't sew. She gets to watch it all. She gets to see all the boys off to say, y'all come back now, you hear?
And
then they immediately
I forgot about that. That's in like the montage. Where they're all leaving and they're like waving goodbye. And
it's like dawn. And she's like, y'all come back now, you hear? And they immediately are like, right now? Okay.
That's a good bit.
This is
like
a funny movie.
Anything.
I like this movie, man.
It's funny. It's really funny.
And I don't care what you say, Mike. It was sexy.
You guys are right. There's notches that could be turned up, but I don't think I was surprised how high the notches were. That's how I'm feeling about it.
And that's where
I say the notches weren't high enough.
There should have been more hogs that we saw. There should have been more boobs.
We should have seen hog.
We should have seen hog.
For how camp and gay this film does feel.
Maybe I'm wrong, but this is after the infamous Burt Reynolds Playgirl.
I believe that's true.
Right?
Was it? Wow.
You know, he is no stranger to showing off the bod. But the camp element comes in. We get this with the Dom DeLuise character. He's literally like putting on, we see him putting on his drag to play like a masculine looking, at least in terms of dimensions.
Yeah,
to go
like a
on.
Long scene of him putting stuff
exactly
on.
Of pointedly putting on his drag. And other people have talked about this too, of the whole like Dolly Parton persona is itself like a drag. She's all about her wigs and her makeup, and she will admit
she doesn't wake up looking like
what. What is the she has some like funny line of someone of is like how long does your hair and makeup take? And she's like, a couple of hours, but I'm not there for that. classic, just funny
that's
Dolly.
So good.
And
she's so charming.
She's so charming. I think that's why this movie does feel so camp and so gay, is that Dolly is this queer icon in the way that many fabulous women have been over the years, where gay men see her and they're just like, oh, please be my hag. I want to dress you up like a Barbie doll. You're perfect. I love you.
She's so quick. It's crazy.
She's so quick with it. She's so charming.
There's almost like a line between Groucho Marx and her.
Yeah, sure.
If Groucho Marx knew how to wear wigs like her, I mean, hey.
Yeah, it's quick. I always am surprised, and I love. I mean, because I'm not well versed in Dolly, really, but every time I'm just like, oh, what a.
Maybe you want to watch some more Dolly movies.
Yeah, we need to do at some point on the pod 9 to 5. Her, Jane Fonda, December. Lily Tomlin, and Dabney Coleman.
Yeah,
it's also has its weird moments, but is so funny and so.
We're gonna have a Dolly at some point in the future. We're gonna have a Dolly month. We're gonna do 9 to 5.
Dolly Fest.
We're gonna do Rhinestone with Sylvester Stallone and Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Damn.
We're gonna have a Dolly themed month at some point in the future. We got it.
Like I said.
She was in that.
And she's good in that. She's got the chops. I fully support that. Dolly Forever. Long may she reign.
that's the movie. Like again, it's a surprising ending that they close down the chicken ranch, but it also feels like a mega happy ending because her and Bert get together. We find out years later that Bert did get into the state legislature, and old Jim Neighbors became the sheriff, and all was right in the world.
And he learned how to whittle real good, just like Aunt Earl taught him.
Here's a question. I don't think we get the answer to this in the movie, but what do you think ultimately happened? What became of Melvin Thorpe?
He's
president.
Yeah, he was elected president of the United States.
I was gonna say it was like a birdcage situation where he eventually realized like having sex with like a sex worker or something.
I was gonna say probably that, but after years of getting increasingly sensationalist on television and probably gaining a lot of weight and doing like a lot of prescription drugs. Yeah. So either died with an underage sex worker or Elvis style on the toilet with a stroke. I think those are the only two options.
I like it.
He was trying to get his girdle off. It wouldn't come.
And he didn't have someone to unzip it for him.
Because no one could stand to be around him.
And his wig fell off, and it was just a humiliating death.
Oh, we didn't mention that. Close it down, and Melvin Thorpe's doing his little shit-eating grin. He's like, I got another one. Burt Reynolds just walks up, clocks it. Or no, he rips his wig off.
He rips the wig off and then pushes him, and he slides like 20 feet across the floor at the real Texas legislature building. Michael pointed out that's the real building.
Wow.
This was a fun one.
Yeah.
I liked it. You were right, Ryan. This was like a gem of the summer for me.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a musical genius, or with musicals, but like, I just feel like I never hear people talk about this movie, really.
Do you want to know what happened to the real life Marvin Zindler?
Oh, no. What was it?
The real life reporter after
how close
he died at the age of 99.
He did die at an old age of like a disease and stuff. But like, what his career was soon after this is pretty funny. So he signed a historic at the time news contract for a lifetime contract. And then he went on to basically make a name. Like his big focus was The Rat and Roach Report, which is he would just go to restaurants and be like, are you gross or are you not? And that was his whole career.
That sounds like, just like a, he had really boring.
He's doing kitchen nightmares.
He had a famous like quote from like one of his reportings that became a catchphrase called, or the quote was, "There's slime in the ice machine."
Wow.
He really wanted to be Kitchen Nightmares.
There's slime in the ice.
He really was, you know, some hard hitting.
Wow.
There's slime in the ice machine.
So he just wanted to be famous. So he just wanted attention.
We got to remember that. There's slime in the ice machine.
There's slime,
in the ice machine.
Wow. Well, gross.
I also have, I'm stepping on a cat. I was looking, since Charles Durning, the nominee, he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. One movie we're going to be watching is who won that Best Supporting against him.
Of course. That's going to come late next month in August.
Louis Gossett Jr. won for Officer and the Gentleman.
Okay. Yeah.
But there's something that's crazy. So just like, spoilers. I was saying these couple years here, 1981, the year before, we had Jack Nicholson was nominated for Reds. And he was also nominated in 83 against Charles Durning, and he won for Terms of Endearment.
And
the thing is, John Lithgow was nominated 2 years in a row for both The World According to Garp in 82 against Durning, and then that following year for To Be or Not, or no, Terms of Endearment also, so, and lost it. So it's like a weird, like, they were nominating Charles Durning, Lithgow, and Jack Nicholson 3 years in a row. It was like those three, kind of like,
wow.
Really straight, crazy. Yeah.
I mean, but also, did any of those other performances include some song and dance and hat choreography?
Jack Nicholson's kind of, he could be dancing in Terms of Endearment. He's kind of like this weird player kind of guy in that. He might, I don't know if he's singing, but he might be.
I could see him do a little soft shoe. Yeah.
I don't remember, but.
You're like, this is sexy and kind of scary. Because
he's like wooing like Shirley MacLaine, but he's after like young women, but. She's actually his age, kind of. So it's a new thing. It's just making him, like, you know, appreciate, you know, that old James L. Brooks. Speaking of,
you know,
speaking
that
of
guy.
Simpsons in the whorehouse episode, you know, it all comes together. You know,
we put the spring in Springfield. I think that might have been before we started recording, but
was that?
We were talking about before.
You know what? A fantastic Simpsons episode with a fantastic song.
And I would say that probably one of the biggest memes probably from our GIFs.
Yes, with Grandpa putting
Grandpa
on his hat.
Grandpa coming in with the hat and sees Bart and puts it back on and walks
puts
out.
It back on. What a good show. Too bad they don't make any episodes anymore.
I know, too. Yeah.
And they haven't for many, many years.
Well, it was a shame. I didn't think it would end with its 69th season, but it did. So.
another little thing I saw is, because I was curious, I was like, is this poster a Drew Struzan? And it's not. It's a artist named Dan Guzzi.
Oh, is this the one with Dolly in the sparkly red orange dress that
No, the one I'm thinking, it's like she's in black and Bert has like his hands cuffed. And he's kind of, it's like a painting drawing like with their faces in the whorehouse. But this artist, he's the guy, he did a lot of, you know, posters I'm seeing in the back of Dave's head. He did Moonraker, View to Kill poster. He did Voyage Home's poster, Crocodile Dundee 2's poster.
Damn,
so,
okay.
So just like, he's kind of, it's in that style.
And Struzan, basically.
Yeah, it's like those,
those
two
are
guys.
The guys.
Yeah. But yeah, the View to Kill poster with the bridge and stuff. That's him.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, so it's cool. I thought that was neat. And he did a lot of Roger Moore Bond, actually. I'm looking at it like,
I think that's the next Bond movie we have on our journey.
It is. The next Moore movie. We have Never Say Never Again coming.
Oh, sure.
We've got our special edition
non-canon. The next canon Bond film.
But we should say, like, as far as trivia with this movie, so this whole summer, we haven't talked about this movie. We're not going to, not because we're trying to avoid it. In fact, there may be a secret episode on this that we might release, possibly. Whoa. But the big movie of 1982 this summer was, of course, E.T., the extraterrestrial. I love that little guy.
That little wrinkly freak.
So at this point, when Best Little Whorehouse comes out, that movie has been at the top of the box office for 6 weeks. It was Dolly who brought E.T. down from the top of the box office.
Wow. Well, hey, little feller.
Yeah, I saw that. And this was also like the most profitable musical at the time it came out.
Biggest weekend for a musical ever.
Suck it, Annie.
Speaking of, it ended up grossing $69 million. And it would become the 10th highest grossing film of the year.
It's interesting, like, thinking about this, because, like, you always think about musicals being a thing of, like, oh, they were, like, in the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Well, look at Annie.
Maybe.
We were saying that that movie feels like a relic.
But, yeah, there's things like Grease and Annie and this that are, like, musicals are still making money in this time.
That's the thing. Like, they don't have the prestige that they had at a certain point, but they're always, like, a fun time, and people are always embarrassed to admit that, like, people like a fun little song and dance, especially if you've got Miss Dolly Fireworks Factory Parton at the helm. Even to the, like, this one is in the early 2020s, and I was completely blindsided by a movie being a musical in theaters that I would have gladly checked out as a musical, but none of the, this was the, oh my God, what's it called? With the nose,
Cyrano
de Bergerac that Peter Dinklage was in as Cyrano instead of having a big nose was a dwarf. Which
that was not promoted as a musical,
not
at all.
One bit. And look, Peter Dinklage is a fantastic actor. He's not a singer, so I don't know why it was a musical to begin with. But I also it frustrates me as a musical theater nerd that to this day movie musicals are, like, embarrassed to do it right. Like, they want to be a musical but not be a musical, and, like, trick people into coming, and then
it reminds me the way it's just movie musicals are today, or at least what I remember they were like in the 2020s, is like the way comic book or video game movies used to be in, like, the 90s, where it's like it's embarrassed to be this.
It's embarrassed of its source, and it's like, do it or don't. Like, don't
be something else.
Don't give me this half-assed pussyfooting, to quote Dom DeLuise. Well,
here's a question. What would you say? What's the most enjoyable, more recent musical that you've seen? That was a great musical, like, of recent memory.
The first comes to mind is the West Side Story remake.
Yeah, I know. That's the first thing that comes. I haven't seen it, but I'm like, I want to see that. I bet I'd like that. That probably would be the newest.
This is definitely not recent, but I think it is probably my top movie musical. And it also has its flaws. But the Weinstein stink of it all doesn't help. But the Chicago movie, having all of the musical numbers as these transported to a stage version of it, and cutting between that and delivering on for the thing that a lot of people, non-musical fans, butt up against is like, oh, why are they bursting into song, blah blah blah, and it's like, one, that's what the genre is, so shut up, but two, yes, go ahead.
I just thought of one. I mean, it's not full musical, but it's close. I would say Sing Street is another good one.
Yeah,
sure.
If that counts. It rides the line a little bit.
Yeah.
But even with, animated musical stuff, like, there's less and less Broadway types, in the machine, in, like, the Disney Pixar of it all, which is why you don't get any fabulous villain songs, because there aren't any villains anymore, because the villain is mental health. But that's another story. Is your mom's bullshit.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. A little tangent to that. I just recently saw the Masters of the Universe, not a remake, but
And
I gotta, I appreciate in that movie. Skeletor is basically just like, I'm the villain. I'm evil and I love it.
What?
I don't have a backstory where, like, oh, actually I was a good guy. It's like, no, I'm just evil.
No, I'm the evil skull-faced dude.
Characters in cinema anymore.
I was just like you once.
No, I'm the evil guy.
Villain. He literally says this in the movie. I'm the villain. What do you want from me?
we got to stop being embarrassed of
archetypes.
Whatever. Of genre. Like, guess what? Yeah. It's goofy a lot of the time. Musicals
are
goofy.
Not everything has to be real and gritty.
No. It's, that's one of my least favorite is the dark and gritty musical of like, we are in Wicked. Why does it need to be a realistic
form? I can't wait for the dark and gritty reboot of Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
They could never. They don't make Dolly anymore.
Could you? I mean, I mean, I wasn't thinking animated movies, but could you count the old K-pop Demon Hunters?
That's like honestly, I would because yeah, I think it has a lot of strengths of a classic Disney movie where you're mm-hmm. like, oh, they're singers, they're on stage, and they get songs. There's villains, yeah, yeah, that's the evil bad boys. Ooh, it's mm-hmm. you know, a fun and kind of sexy, but like I think I would count that in there.
And those songs, they for how like you know big K-pop they are really Disney. Like the yeah. way they kind of
they're meant to be sung along by mm-hmm. like 8-year-olds kids, yeah. and anyway. I think it was successful in that.
Well, any closing thoughts on Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
I mean, I think we can all agree I heart Dolly Parton, yeah, awooga awooga.
If,
it was
if Dolly asked me to put on the little snap-away black undies, I would
in
gladly
a second.
Do it.
Yeah, I think you guys are right that things could be turned up, but like I was surprised at where it was. I don't know. Like it was like when I was expecting, I don't know what I was expecting really, but
a PG movie.
Yeah, I think it was like, and then it ended up being like better than I expected. And I think that's a win. I think, and that was what's cool. But I think. I it's funny because we talked about that damn football team scene a lot, and that went on a really long time, I'll say.
It did. I think, once again, you can sense that a gay man directed
it. It felt like it had an encore because it begins with them winning the game, and they go into the locker room like, yay, we're going to go have sex now.
I know.
And then
they're on the bus. It breaks down, and then there's another sequence with them at the chicken ranch where they have a sequence with the girls.
It does keep going.
There's a lot of an encore.
Yeah, it felt like it was like, wow, this is a big chunk of the movie. I didn't realize really that was probably my biggest critique, really. But it is part of the whole plot of the inciting.
It is kind of the crux
of things in many ways.
It's what leads to the downfall of Chicken Ranch.
Yeah, so I guess it does make. And now I think in retro, if I would have watched it again, it wouldn't be. But I was like, damn, I can't believe we're still with these.
When you're in
boys.
It, yeah, you're like, this is still going, huh?
Jesus.
Okay.
And we haven't seen one hog. What the hell?
But I would, you know, but I don't know. Yeah, I think Dolly was really fun, and it was. It does make you want to just watch more of her, just like unlike Carson, it's fun. To watch, you know.
Oh yeah, her on any clip of her on a talk show. There's that one where is it with Whitney Houston some singer, and they both have these like long acrylic nails on, and they start like tapping them together to like make percussion, and they start singing together. It's so charming and sweet because like it's Dolly. She's a gem. She's a treasure. We all know it.
So that's three recommends. Mike, why don't you bring us home?
I recommend.
Yay!
Okay. Yay! Y'all come back now, you hear?
He couldn't say no because the polls all said yes for Dolly. That's the whorehouse in Texas.
Yeah, I know where the wind is going. No, I think this movie is really fun. I think we kind of hinted at it, but one thing that is really fun about this movie is the costumes. They're really good, especially Dolly Parton. Like Dolly Parton, like you, every time you blink, she's wearing something different, and
different color, different sequins or ruffles.
Insane.
Or...
sometimes I really loved. There were some scenes of Dolly Parton's character where she's alone at night, like just to herself. And like the outfit she was wearing in those situations, like cracked me
up. It's still
like
full wig and earrings and makeup and like matching robe and.
Yeah, she's great. I think the movie's fun. It's like there's some stuff about it I don't love 100%, and I don't think it's like a great movie, but I think it's good. I think it's definitely good, and I definitely would recommend it.
All right. Well, if it was up to us, the Chicken Ranch would still be operating. It'd still be open today, but anyhow.
They got one of these in Nevada you can check out. You know,
it's true.
Yeah. When we return, we'll be heading into the final month of Where Were You in 82. We go into August, and we're going to be opening things up. School is back in session, fellas.
Ooh.
Because we'll be going to Lincoln High with... Fast Times not Lincoln High. Lincoln High is the bad guys. I'm sorry. We'll be going with Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fast Times at Lincoln High. Slow Times at Lincoln High.
Isn't the school called the...
isn't the school called Ridgemont?
Yeah.
Fast Times at Lincoln High, the unsuccessful sequel.
People did not like it.
Y'all come back now, you hear?